Anytime this gospel story comes up, I always think back to, this was a number of years ago, this was like the first, one of the first weddings I had ever gone to. I think I had just finished college or was right around there, and I had some friends who were getting married, and they invited me to be in the wedding party. This was my first time, basically my first time at a wedding. This is my first time also being in the wedding party. We have the wedding and all that, and that's very nice, and then we go to the reception, and as they have, you know, when the couple comes in and they have all their wedding party sort of go in first and go take these seats at the table up there at the front of everywhere. I had never done this before. Nobody told me where to sit at the table, and so as I went in and went up to the table, I sat in a place that was too high for my station that day. Okay. I sat in a place that was too high for my station that day. I did not recognize it at the time, and then as I saw the next couples come up who were closer to them, as I saw the next couples come up who were related to them, I said, oh boy, I have made a terrible mistake. And my friend, thankfully, they were very gracious. They did not come to me and say to me, friend, give your place to this man. But nonetheless, I had the same thing, because I just sat there for the reception with that feeling of embarrassment burning within me. Each time I would look across the table and see, ah yes, this is a reminder for me constantly. I have sat at too high of a place. Friends, I will tell you, I have never made that mistake since. Okay? You only have to do it once. Think about this, basically. In this letter to the Hebrews that we hear from today, what is happening? What are we talking about? We're talking about how we approach the Lord. We are talking about how we approach the Lord specifically at this banquet to which we are all invited. We talk about how we approach the Lord and what is happening at this banquet to which we are, all of us, invited. And the author reminds us first this. He says, look, when you are here, you are not here because you have not here seen something that you can touch as the people of God. They could touch the Ten Commandments and the Ark of the Covenant. You are not here because you heard some voice in the dark storm cloud. You are not here because of signs and storms and lightning in the sky. You are not here, and you are not seeing here this voice heard from the Lord, which says, Lord, please do not speak, do not let me hear that voice anymore, because it is far too powerful for me to hear your voice. It is too difficult. It is too overwhelming for me to hear your voice, O God. Let me not hear you speak another word to me. Instead, the author says, no, when you approach here, what you are approaching is not that kind of fear, but instead what you are approaching is a banquet of great joy. What you are approaching is a wedding banquet. What you are approaching is a feast. And so here, at this feast, then, we need to learn to see with new eyes. At this feast, we need to learn to hear with new and different ears in order to experience everything that we know that our faith tells us is happening here around this altar. That this is a festal gathering. That here gathered around this altar, we see here not just our servers and our lector, and over here not just our musicians and the presider and others around us in the congregation. No, we come to this festal banquet, we come to this gathering recognizing that we are uniting ourselves to the eternal banquet of heaven. And so that's what we need to learn how to see, that's what we need to learn how to hear in this place. That around us, we are surrounded by this great cloud of saints, by all of those baptized in the blood of the Lamb. We are surrounded by the angels. They are all present here, worshiping and singing with us, and we are uniting our voices with theirs when we sing these songs of praise. We say as much in the texts, right? We recognize, too, that when we say glory to God in the highest, we are taking the words of the angels upon our own lips. We recognize, too, later on in the Mass, maybe you'll hear that phrase, you'll pay attention to that phrase today. It'll be something like how we join our voices with all of the angels and saints, and we say together, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts. We recognize that all of this is happening around us, even if with our earthly eyes we cannot see it, even with our earthly ears we cannot hear it that way. But we know that it is happening. We know that this is a place of great wonder, And it's a place also then of great hope and a place of great possibility. Because if we can come into this place here today in Elk Grove Village, and here we can be united in worship of the Almighty God with all of the angels, with all of the saints, with all those who have died and gone before us. If that can happen here in this place, then how much more can happen when we receive this Eucharist from this altar? When we receive the very body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus himself, when he strives to have that communion with us, what more might be able to happen today in this place? Friends, we might be able to be healed of our sickness. We might be able to be healed of our brokenness. We might be able to be healed of our sins so we can leave that behind us, so that we can leave and walk out of here filled with that joy of God, filled with a lightness of being, filled with a lightness and a joy in our own hearts, because we recognize the great banquet to which we have been called. When we think about what Jesus says to those in the gospel today, he says, this is how you should approach a banquet, right? When you go, do not seek out the highest place, but instead go and take the lowest place, yeah? Because that's what he himself did. That's what Jesus himself did. When he came to us from his heavenly throne, he did not seek out the highest place among men. He did not seek out the halls of power. He did not seek out being able to go to the fortress of Caesar and to be able to go and find all these different great and lavish places and banquets. He came down into poverty. He came down in a very humble way to be with every one of us. It was not really his custom to go and be around the leaders and the very important people. His greater custom was to go and be close to those who were poor, to be close to those who were set aside, who were cast aside, who were told, you don't matter. That's who he was close to. Jesus himself took the lowest place. And then, for his trouble, for coming to take the lowest place, we invited him to come and take a higher place, didn't we? We said, we will raise you up to a higher place on this cross. We will lift you up because of this example of humility that you are trying to give. We will give you this. But Jesus knows that this cross is not for him a place of shame. It is a place of his glory. It is a place of his glory. He is lifted up into that place because of our own sins, but precisely because of that, we can be healed from them, because he can take all of that sin and shame and death with him when he is lifted up, and he has done so. Think about what he tells the host of the banquet. He says, when you throw a lunch or a dinner, do not invite those who are close to you. Do not invite your friends and your relatives. Do not invite those who are wealthy in case they may be able to repay you. Instead, he says, go out and invite those who are poor, who are crippled, who are lame, who are deaf, who are begging in the streets. And do we imagine for ourselves that that is not us? That God has invited us to this banquet precisely because we are in need of healing, precisely because there is nothing that we can give him that he does not already have. There is no way for us to repay God for what he has done for us. But he invites us anyway. Because of his love. He invites us anyway because of his love. But that means that first we have to recognize, and sometimes that's a little bit uncomfortable. It's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes to recognize that we are in need of healing, that we are broken, that we are sinful. In any case, I should say that we know it within ourselves somewhere, but we don't like to think about it. We don't like to draw attention to it. But it's precisely in our own recognition that that is who we are, each and every one of us, each and every one of us. We are all sinners. And because of that, God invites us to this. Because of that, God invites us to receive his healing. He invites us to receive his grace. Because we cannot repay him, because we cannot do this for ourselves. This is the way that Jesus talks about the banquet of the heavenly kingdom. This is the way Jesus invites then us also to live. to follow his example, to think about taking that lowest place instead of seeking out places of honor, to recognize our own sinfulness and our own need for God. And then through that recognition, we too are lifted up into glory. And that's why we can sing, "Glory to God in the highest." That's why we can say together, "Holy Lord God of hosts," because God has put us in this place. He has brought us here together on this day, at this time, at this hour, to give him praise. God has brought us here to this place for this Eucharist. He has brought us here to share in this heavenly banquet. And then when we go forth also from these doors, wherever it is that we go, God also directs our steps there so that we can bring this good news of healing, so that we can bring this good news of forgiveness for sins, so that we can bring this good news of new life, of a fresh start to others. That's the great gift of this banquet. That's the great gift when we learn to see with heavenly eyes, when we learn to hear with heavenly ears. That's what we receive. That's what we receive.